Hello, you are listening to the Now 21st Century Leader, and I am your host, Dr. B. I decided to change the name of this podcast and my blog posts because I feel like emotional intelligence is very important, but I'm talking more about the contemporary issues of this century, including things like DEI, globalization, integration, and I just feel like this is more suiting to what I'm referring to. This is a very nice change, and today is very special because I wanted to just go over my webinar that I'm going to host on Wednesday, and it talks about the theory that I created called Transformational Climates. I'm just going to do a little practice run on this podcast, and hopefully everything goes well. What I'll do is I'll just do the first half of this webinar today, and then next week I'll do the second half. For today, I'm going to teach you how to redesign your business foundation so your workforce can learn to adapt to change that will result in less emotional stress. Culture is the identity of your company, and it actually defines how employees communicate and interact. Employees that share common beliefs, values, and attitudes feel more connected and more comfortable in a dynamic workplace. Culture affects every level of an organization and includes both visible and invisible factors. The easiest cultural model to understand is actually Edgar Schein's. His concept divides culture into three different levels. These levels include artifacts, values, and beliefs. Let's say that you've recently been offered a managerial position at a Colorado Springs IT firm. As you open the door, you start feeling butterflies in your stomach. "I'm here for my first day," you tell the receptionist, and she exclaims, "How awesome! I'll let your manager know." As you sit in a beautiful leather chair, you start noticing the stunning hand-painted portraits and the stylish glass office cubicles. As you glance at the marble floors, you think, "This firm must be really well off." These are examples of artifacts that you can visibly see. You happen to overhear conversations in the hallway and realize people's bond is more like a friendship. "Everyone is like family here, which is why I've been here for almost 10 years," the receptionist tells you. She then points to a sign that says, "Let our family help solve your IT needs." As you finish reading the sign, you recall the recruiter emphasizing how much the CEO, James, values collaboration between departments. The family environment and collaboration are examples of values that can be used to describe the way their IT firm works. As your manager, Jason, enters the lobby, he smiles and greets you. You offer your hand to shake his, and he walks you to his office. You see that practically everyone is standing up and interacting with peers. A group of colleagues greets you as Jason brings you into his unit's conference room. "I told him not to scare you off on your first day," says Jason. Warm team introductions, unity, and closeness are essential beliefs that suggest how employees should work together and what behaviors are acceptable and unacceptable. Basically, those are the three levels: artifacts, things that you can actually see and touch; values, those are the values that the company holds close to them; and beliefs, this is the beliefs that all employees hold. As you will soon learn, everyone is responsible for creating and maintaining culture. In the early days of his IT firm, James established the tone for his values, assumptions, goals, and a future vision. James grew up in a loving family, so he chose to combine his family values with his transformational values. This combination helped the IT firm succeed within the big tech industry. So they kept his unique values and passed them on to new employees. Onboarding strengthens James' values, and the process of attraction, selection, attrition keeps the culture alive. The firm seeks out applicants who share similar values such as family orientation and collaboration. If new hires didn't fit within these values, they were eventually replaced, which is known as attrition. Leaders in each department model desired behaviors, and eventually employees adopt the same behaviors, which are reinforced by reward systems. This entire process continues until the end of the firm's lifespan. Can you think of ways that your organization maintains their culture? It's a myth that every organization has one dominant culture. Companies are made up of many cultures called subcultures, and these can be found in different departments. Subcultures aren't bad in and of themselves, but they can turn into countercultures that go against the values and goals of the whole organization. I'll give you an example. I used to work for a small IT firm, which consisted of only two departments. They were IT and sales. Both departments were literally separated by a wall and had different expectations. For example, the salespeople were expected to dress professionally while IT had a uniform dress code. Each department had separate goals, which happened to conflict. IT would fix clients' immediate PC-related issues, and if they weren't completely resolved, the clients would come to us to get them resolved. We had to go and get updates on the issue and kind of press the IT to resolve them and inform the client at the same time. In this setup, both departments' goals conflicted, which made them enemies. The larger the company, the more subcultures that it has, so it's important to remain aware of this. Now I'm going to show you where your organization resists change and help you create dynamic strategies to shift resistance into acceptance. To help us figure out why organizations are set up the way that they are, we need to take a look at the two attitudes that tend to resist change. These are the delicate and strong attitudes. So for the delicate attitude, this happened during the Industrial Revolution as new technologies changed work and production. Iron and steel were first introduced in factories at the time. Also, new forms of energy like electricity, coal, and the steam engine were also put to great use. Even new machines like the power loom helped people produce more with less manpower. This also led to a new way of organizing work called the factory system, which separated tasks so the workers could focus on and become experts in one role. This made mass production possible. The goal was to make a product that was the same every single time. In other words, slight changes would cause disruptions, meaning the organization had a delicate attitude towards change. Leaders worked to overcome the delicate attitude, giving rise to the strong attitude towards change. This strong attitude saw organizations as machines, meaning leaders saw them as various connected parts that could be arranged in a logical order to make a more consistent product. This meant detailed processes and procedures were created for specific roles. However, large amounts of planning and control is required for businesses to function within a predictable status quo. Unfortunately, this strong attitude towards change has stunted employee creativity in a lot of ways. The factory system had a very structured process and procedures that told workers exactly what to do. If employees didn't follow these steps, they would make a defective product, which meant failure. Employees avoided trying new ways of doing their jobs because they were afraid of failing. When employees followed processes and procedures, they didn't have to use strategic thinking. So these resources were never developed. A business that is based on control creates a hierarchical structure where the people at the top are in charge of making decisions. The result is a workforce that's not adaptable and doesn't know what to do when things go wrong. Instead, they look to their leaders for solutions, however long that takes. The strong attitude sees change as a matter of shutting down, replacing a cog, and resuming production. But this attitude overlooks the emotional challenges associated with change. The roller coaster of change metaphor describes the three stages of emotional highs and lows associated with the change process. The first phase is called the ending. The IT firm was doing well, but James wanted to create a more adaptable workforce to stay competitive. James pitches his idea to the directors, and they work for months on a change management strategy until all directors approve the proposal. Then they met with the firm to present the new change. Although the directors had months to process and accept the new change, employees' reaction varied. Some employees feared losing their jobs and went through almost like a grieving process. Others were excited by the urgency and challenge of change. But all employees experienced the ending of something they once knew and the start of a new beginning. The second phase is called the neutral zone, and this is the place where staff are still adjusting to the new changes. Most employees are unaware of how the new changes would affect their careers, their relationships with coworkers, and their business as a whole. Employees start talking about their negative feelings and rumors start spreading. This causes confusion, uncertainty, and sometimes even anger. The new way of doing things are starting to sink in around mid-neutral zone. Employees' confidence is steadily returning now that they know their jobs are secure. And finally, the third phase is called new beginnings. As staff gets used to the new changes, they work harder to learn new skills and ways of doing things. This makes people feel more confident and optimistic about making the changes. Employees also notice that the changes are making them more flexible and creative, which makes them feel positive. New beginnings have emerged. As you could see, managing this roller coaster of change can be very challenging. This process will occur at the beginning of every new initiative unless employees update their attitudes towards change. I am now going to teach you a new attitude that can help your workforce adapt and grow through change. Recently, we experienced a global pandemic that caused a major shift in our working reality. Businesses are now switching to a hybrid remote work environment, which requires a whole new set of behaviors. The 21st century requires a resilient attitude towards change. We used to work in factories, but now today, we work on computers. External influences have shifted moment by moment, which are impossible for standard processes and procedures to account for. A resilient attitude empowers employees to make decisions rather than relying on leaders, which fosters accountability and ownership. Micromanagement and control are replaced for collaboration and knowledge sharing. This encourages employees to think critically and solve their own challenges. In this resilient attitude, employees are used to experimenting and making adjustments, so they see change as an opportunity to improve rather than something to hide from. So long as people can handle change, it actually helps organizations improve. Change becomes less scary as employees learn to adapt on their own when things go wrong. New ideas are recorded and updated as employees and the organization continuously improve. A resilient attitude can be created and maintained. After the IT firm shifted towards a more resilient workforce, employees were more self-reliant and took more responsibility for their own choices. Instead of approaching James for approval, staff are encouraged to find answers on their own. If they fail, they learn from their mistakes and try again until they succeed. During this process, people are learning to be adaptable and flexible. James also reduced hierarchy, which encourages collaboration and resource sharing. This helps create a learning environment. Having a resilient attitude towards change can be real, but a certain level of psychological safety is the first step. For next week, I will be going over how to create a more psychological safe environment and how to unlock transformation at every level in your organization. I hope that this was very easy to understand. If not, please let me know. You can email me at my email listed. Let me know any way I could make this easier to understand. Thanks for listening. And remember, we all have the power to change the world, but we must first change ourselves.